Let's go with the message this morning. A brand new series. I'm excited about it. And without taking too much time, I just want to say this. We built this building. It's taken many, many, many years. At times, it's been awesome, exciting. At other times, it's been a struggle. And it's been trouble. I'm talking about on my mind. You know, because I could preach in a barn. I could preach at the beach. I could preach out a parking lot. I don't give a rip. You know? And that attitude can get like that. Well, I need a building. Well, you already got it. You can't quit now. All right? So, anyway, just, you know, my crazy mind does stuff like that. But then here's what happened. A lot of people would say when you get in that building, I hear it all over town. I hear from people that come in that visit. Well, when you get in that building, you're going to grow. And a lot of times I would reject that when they said that. I would go, well, we're just going to work hard. You know, if it's that easy, people just build churches all over and they'd be full everywhere. Amen? Come on. So there's work involved. I know there's work involved. So I would go, oh, whatever. And I would just sort of, you know, whatever. And then people will tell us when we get a building built, they're going to come. Have you heard anybody say that? How many have heard somebody say that? Amen? Okay. Yeah. And we'll say, well, why don't you come now? We're at the high school. How many have ever said that to somebody? But the fact of the matter is, a lot of people say they're going to come. But, you know, oh, whatever. So I just, you know, whatever. So I've never, you know, I've looked at the building. I've seen it just lately as more just trouble. And I'm just being honest. I could sit up here and lie if I wanted to, but I'm not going to. That's the truth. And it's been a burden. But the Lord touched me on Sunday. On Sunday afternoon, when I say touch me, here's what I mean. I have a hard, thick head. How many knows that? Y'all are terrible. Grief. And I'm going to try to go with you on this thought. Just hang in here with me if you don't mind. I've been at church work a while, basically my whole adult life. And I don't know everything about it, but I know a little bit. And I know this. Let's say we already had a campus, and we were running 500 in the summertime, about what we do, and about up to 1,000 sometimes in the wintertime. Sometimes we do that. 800-900 happens. If we decided we're going to start a church about 7-8 miles away, another campus, and we took 50, not 500, but 50, and put them over there at this other campus, took $1 million and built another campus, not 6 million or whatever it was, but $1 million and build up another campus, would we expect those 50 to go over there and grow? Yes or no? Flat out, right? Say, would we be building a church for 50 people to just go over there and 50 people have church? Yes or no? We're not doing that. Stay with us. Stay over here. We're not going to go do that unless you're going to go over there and you're going to work. Yes or no? So the Lord, and that would be me at a satellite church, would be just me beaming in and having me on the screen. That's what we do. That's what they do. So the Lord touched my heart with these thinkings, thoughts on Sunday afternoon just by myself, old hard head, me and Jesus. Amen. And I get hammered. And the Lord says to me, Gary, not out loud, but just in my heart, says, come on, you're not taking 50 over there. You're taking 500. 500! You kidding me? And he popped me upside the head. And you're not going to go over and be speaking on a screen. You're going to be over there in person. You're going to be there loving people. You're going to be personal, caring for people. Ain't a $1 million building, son. It's a beautiful state-of-the-art building. It's beautiful what y'all have done over there. And so, I started seeing double through all this trouble. You listening to me or not? Why in the world? I'm a poor coach and a poor leader. And I coach ball, too. I have all my life. A poor coach would get out there and tell the team, if you were 500 last year, well, let's hope we can be 500 again this year. You need to get out of coaching if that's your attitude. Amen. Say yes or no. So that's how I felt like I got rebuked of the Lord last Sunday. Which is okay. He chastens those and rebukes those that he loves. Amen, yes or no? Say, come on. So I know he loves me. He loves me, and He helped me get my head up. And I don't know if I didn't plan on saying all this, so it might not make good sense. I don't have it all written down, but the fact of the matter is, I hope you see that the pastor's got a little help now. Amen? And I'm expecting us to double. Did you hear me? Yes or no? Are you hearing me? Yes or no? How many believe that and you're not lying? How many believe and you're willing to work and make it happen? Come on! And reaching people for Christ! And not to lie, not to get rich, not to do it. No, we just want to reach people because we care. Amen? And we've been called to do it. And we're church builders. Say, I'm a church builder. That's who you are. You're a church planner. You're a missionary. That's who you are. Did you know that? Say, anything you've given has been to reach that community. And one last thing. Why do people say, well, I'll come when the building gets open, but they won't come now? Here's the reason. Because they see the building over there. They're waiting for us. They see the commitment that we've made. They're not us, guys. God has called us to do what we're doing. Yes or no? Say. And He's called us to reach them. And they are reachable. And they want to be reached. Are you listening? Yes or no? So we're not frustrated that they're not at the high school right now. We're going to reach them. You listening to me? Yes. Yeah, you got it? Yes or no? John, have I lost my mind up here today? Okay. No more than usual. Okay. Okay. Just checking. Does that make sense what I've said this morning or not? Okay, we just had a little church talk. Here we go. All right. So anyway, the message, seeing double vision. Let's go with it now. It's a series we're in. And I wanted to tell you that because this is where my path led me this week for a new series. Let's go with it. Double vision, seeing double through what? Come on, don't worry about that little talk I just had. Hang on the message. This is what's important, the Word. Let's go right now. Seeing double through what? Trouble. When you're in trouble, all you can see is trouble. Trouble all around you. I'm in a mess. Look at this mess. The struggle, whatever you're going through. Is it possible when you're in trouble to see through trouble and see double? Oh, it's very possible to the child of God. To those of us who have faith. Say faith. Absolutely. Yes, we can. Let's talk about it today. Here we go. If others saw double, so can I. That's the message this morning. If others saw double, so can I. I want to see double through trouble. And to be honest with you guys, I gave that little talk there about me and the building thing lately. However, I've been blessed enough when I was in some of the deepest trouble in my life a few years ago. I didn't even know what I was saying, but I started asking you guys, pray that God would bless me what? How many prayed that God would bless me double? You did it. That ain't no lie. You did it. Look at that. So even though I was screwed up, even though I was, you know, in trouble, hurting, but the fact that God helped me enough to ask for that. Amen? Come on. And I could see it even though I really couldn't see it, that God was going to bless me double. How many believe God blessed me double now? Come on. How many would say that? He blessed you double. How many think He did triple or quadruple? Yeah, He did. He'll do that for you. Others saw double, so can you. Come on, let's go with it, Raj. We're rolling now. Psalm 119 is a passage, it's the longest psalm in the Bible. We're not going to look at that today, just a verse there, but that's that one psalm that talks so much about the Word of God. It's, you know, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. All kinds of scriptures on the Word. But it also says right here, it's good for me that I've been what? That sounds like crazy talk, don't it? It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your what? Your statutes, to learn your word, learn your truth. The psalmist said, it's good for me that I've been hurt. It's good for me that I've had to go through trouble. Keep looking. The book of James, ladies are studying this. Right out of the gate, verse number 2 says, count it all joy when you fall into Old King James's divers temptations. It's an old-fashioned word that means trouble. And that word joy is not just the normal word joy. That word joy means leap. Say leap. So it says leap, man, when you get into trouble. Jump up and down, I'm happy I'm in trouble. That's a lunatic that writes that. Well, that lunatic just happened to be the half-brother of Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you know when trouble comes, you can leap because you know Jesus. You hearing me? Count it all joy
when you fall into trouble. Peter says it this way, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, because you're in heaviness through manifold temptations or suffering or trouble, that the trial of your faith being much more what? Precious than that of what? That perishes, though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? Trouble is more precious than gold? Is that what you're telling me? Pop the screen. Peter says, be glad through trouble. This trouble will show you that your faith is real. Say that with me. This trouble will show you that your faith is real. How in the world do you know your faith is real? Yeah. I mean, how do you know? Oh, I got double. I had a car, got me a new car. I know my faith is real. I'm going to tell you something. Here's real faith. You get beat down so low that you don't want to live anymore, but you have Jesus and you hang on to Him and you get up again and you fight again and He's with you. That's how you know that your faith is real. Not because of the stuff you have. Are you listening to me? Yes or no? Come on! Life, man! Life! Life will kill you out there. The fire of trouble tests and purifies your faith as what? Gold. How many, be honest, would say, Pastor, I've been through the fire and God tried me. But I look back at it now and I came through it and it's like gold to me. What I've learned, what I've seen. Can I see your hand? Look at that. Isn't that awesome? That's crazy people in here this morning. That's the Lord. Amen? Keep looking. Seeing double through trouble. This is all according to Peter. This ain't Gary, it's Peter. Seeing double through trouble will bring much praise, honor, and glory when you see Jesus one day. Isn't that crazy? If right now in this life, when I have trouble, I choose to remain faithful, keep my eyes on Jesus, see that this trouble is not going to last forever, I will get to the other side one day. That's going to bring honor and glory and praise in the presence of Jesus. That's crazy, ain't it? Makes me want to bear up and try harder. Yes? Come on. Double vision. That's what we want to talk about today. Double vision, seeing double through trouble. We're just building the case. Keep walking with me. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. It's the evidence of things what? We can't see double when we're in trouble. Are you kidding me? All I see is I got hit upside the head. Bang! And you expect me to see. I'm seeing double all right. I'm seeing double vision because I just got slapped upside the head. You're expecting me somehow to see double through my trouble? How do I do that? You do it by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. When in trouble, though you don't have the double, you can by faith see that the trouble is not going to last forever, and I am going to get to this other side, and I am going to be blessed. Do you understand? Yes or no? I'm going to say something. You might not agree with it. Doesn't really matter. It's just the way I feel. People that pray for a double blessing, double blessing, double blessing. I want to be blessed double, double, double. I think to get a double blessing, you got to have trouble. Job was blessed what? Double. But he had what? Trouble. A double blessing to me is not like you got $1 million and the Lord done give you another $1 million. I got a double blessing. Look at me. No, double blessing is this. You had $1 million and you lost everything you had. And the Lord restored that $1 million back in your life. And I don't even like to talk about money. I ain't talking about that. Let's do it this way. Let's say you were in an abusive marriage. Where you're abused. And life was just, I got to watch my language. Okay? It's horrible. Okay? And you about died. Your double blessing is that now you're with somebody else that loves you, that's faithful. Does that make any sense? Yes or no? That's a double blessing. Doesn't mean you got one husband and now you're going to go get you another. Now you got two of them. Got me double black. Got me two men. Most women would go, God help me, no. Come on. I believe double blessing comes through trouble. Y'all listening or not? Don't get kooky in your theology here. Honestly, to have and to lose and to have the confidence and the trust in God that I'm going to be okay and He's going to restore unto me. That's called the double blessing. That's how I look at it. Amen? And I'm not saying I'm right. Just throw that out there. Pop it up. What is faith? Faith is the confident expectation that what we hope for will actually what? Happen. And that's not kooky faith. It's faith in God. It's faith in the Scriptures. It's faith in the promises of God. Amen? This confident expectation, this hope, gives us assurance about things we what? Did you know God says without faith you can't please me? Did you know it is not pleasing to God when trouble comes our way and we can't see Him anymore? We can't believe Him anymore? Did you get that or not? It's not pleasing to God that we just love God when everything's going great. That's not pleasing to God. It's pleasing to God that we believe Him regardless. I believe God, period. Say that with me. I believe God, period. Faith. That's part of double vision. Here's Romans 8:28 written a little different way. Real faith is knowing that God causes everything to work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose for them. That verse right there is talking about, it has to be talking about there's trouble. When trouble comes in your life, you've got to know that God is working this trouble for my what? Good. That's called double vision. Are y'all listening to me? You can just look at the trouble, or you can also want to see double and see that good is coming. Good is coming. Good is coming. You listening to me? And don't think this message is at all about money. I even hate that I even said that earlier. Money will take wings and fly. Is that what the Bible says? It says that. This stuff's real, baby. We're not talking about temporal stuff. Keep looking. Even though I can't see it, I still believe that God is what? That's double vision. I can't see it. I'm in trouble. I'm hurting. I'm in bad shape. But I still believe God is working. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Say, come on, I know you think I'm a nut.
He's a nut.
It's okay. You're nutty too. I am expecting double for my what? Can we say that a little louder? Come on, that's pretty good. I'm expecting for my... That pleases God to see you like that. To see me like that. You know what? The world is attracted to a person like that. That when you've been beat down, you don't whine all the time. Oh, this happened. Oh, man. And that, you know, you'll lose every friend you got. You keep doing that. But if they see you bear up with a smile, I ain't talking about fake it. Sometimes it might be all right to do that, to plaster a smile on your face anyway. For the good of others. But when they see and know that you're struggling and what you've gone through, and yet you didn't turn your back on God, you didn't. Isn't that what Job's wife said, curse God and what? Is that right? Okay, yeah. Curse God and die. I'm all over the place today. Yeah, curse God and die. Isn't that typical of us? Trouble comes, we curse God. Turn our back on God. It's crazy. God says, I don't like you doing that. Keep looking. What is, we're talking about double vision. I'm a little over the place, but hang in here with me. Vision. What if double vision, what is vision? Vision is a sense of sight. We knew that, right? Got vision. Okay, sense of sight. I didn't need that, Clark. Keep looking. This is a dictionary, not me. It's a supernatural apprehension, though. Vision. So it's a sense of sight, but it's also a supernatural apprehension. I think that's an interesting, people have visions, things like that. But I think it's an interesting definition of what I'm talking about today, a supernatural apprehension. And then look at this word. Vision means what? Isn't that what we're talking about today? We're talking about when you're in trouble, you see the trouble, that's natural. Look, there it is. But wait a minute. Double vision, though, is having a supernatural apprehension. That, yeah, I'm in trouble, but I'm seeing double. I'm going to see my way out of here. I see a future. Did you get that or not? And then the third thing, I think this works well because it's a foresight. We always say hindsight's 20 what? Well, if hindsight's 20-20, then double vision's something else altogether. It's awesome. Amen. Are you listening? To have foresight. To have foresight. When you're in trouble, to be able to see double supernaturally by faith, I can look forward. Did I lose you? Just think about it. Since I now belong to God, I not only can see with eyes that are physical, but I can also see with eyes that are spiritual. But guys, that doesn't mean, listen, I'm going to caution you again. That doesn't mean you're going up to people and say, well, I see God said this to me so that you're supposed to do this. Would you not do that? How about this? How about with your own eyeballs, see the physical in your life, and with your own eyes that are spiritual, see how the struggle and the mess in your life that you can see double in your own life. You understand? Yes or no? That's not kooky. That's not crazy. That's good. And that is from the Holy Spirit to be able to do this. And I want you to be able to do it. It's called double vision. Just a new series, new thought. Just talking with you this morning. Seeing double through trouble. And some of you are like, he's kooky still. Well, let's get down to some stuff. We're moving now. Here we go. If others saw double, so can I. Well, Clark, who else saw double? Just you? No. Let's look at him. Here we go. Noah saw double. Noah saw double. Noah saw double. He saw double. Pop some glasses up in just a second. We're going to look at his glasses. Here we go. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. He became heir of the righteousness, which is by what? Noah saw double. Here we go. When I thought of Noah this week, when he got the news, there's a flood coming, everybody's going to die. Everybody. The word that came to me was paralyzed. Have you ever felt paralyzed by trouble? You were just paralyzed. You were just dead in your tracks. I can't do nothing, man. Can't even move. You ever been there? Say. Paralyzed. That's how I think Noah must have felt. Oh, my God! What happened? What's going to happen? Can't you hear him? Yes or no? Paralyzed. So, physically, here's what he saw. Pop it up. The flood. Oh, my God. They're all going to perish. That's single vision. But Noah saw double. He also saw deliverance. You understand a little better what double seeing is right now? Double vision, say. Noah saw double. Flood's coming, but Noah saw what? And that seeing deliverance got his tail up, started building the ark, saved his family. And can we go ahead and thank Noah? He's watching today. He's in that great cloud. Can we thank Noah? Thank you, Noah. We're here today. Thank you. Listen, that's the truth. The man had double vision. He wasn't just paralyzed by what he heard. His faith. He moved. Say moved. He moved with fear and reverence to God. And he moved and he started building. And you and I are here today because of that. Yes or no? Double vision. Who else had it? Oh, by the way, you can do this in Hebrews. I'm not all over the Bible. I'm just in the book of Hebrews. Just reading the book of Hebrews right through here. There's chapters and chapters on this stuff of Noah and Abraham. We're not going to use all those. We're just going to use these. Abraham saw double. What you talking about? Yeah. Here we go. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he what? And he went out. Now, interesting. Read that last part with me. Not knowing where he was
going. He went out not knowing where he was going. Keep going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Keep looking. Now look at, you got to say this verse with me. Come on now. Talking about double vision. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now here's the part we didn't tell you about Abraham. Now hang on. When you think about the story of Abraham, Abraham was a very wealthy man. He was set. He was from Ur of the Chaldees. Wealth, family, that was his life. And God called him to leave his family, leave his wealth, leave his life, and move. Here's the word that hit me when I thought about Abraham this week. Displaced. You ever felt so displaced in your life? Fish out of water. I see it happen to people all the time. They move from wherever you move from to a town called Englewood, and you're displaced. A lot of them go back. All they see is trouble. I guess they don't see the beach. I guess they don't see that, 27-inch snook. Amen. Come on. Or the sunset. Amen. Say. Or, oh, by the way, there's no snow in the yard. How about that? You listening to me? Yes or no? But that feeling of displacement can destroy a person. So here is Abraham. He left Ur. He left his family. He left his fortune to follow by faith. To go somewhere where he don't even know where he's going. That's exactly what happened. How did he do it? So this part of the glasses, pop this one up. So he could have just looked at his past. Oh, I wish I was in Ur. Oh, I wish I had my stuff. Oh, I miss, grandma. Whatever. And so many people look at their past and what they've left behind and cannot get to their future. If you're going to have a future, you're going to have double vision. Are you listening or not? But see, that's what Abraham did. He looked at his future. He had double vision. He wasn't just looking at the past. You can't just say trouble doesn't happen. No! He had to deal with it. Those feelings, that emotion, whatever. Sure he did. But double vision by faith is still able to look forward. And he did. He looked to the future. What lies ahead? Say that with me. What lies ahead? Today is a gift from God. Man, we make the past into an idol. We do. We worship our this, our worship our that. And we can never get ahead. We're always worshiping whatever we used to do. Stop it. Live in the now. Come on, guys. Y'all listening or not? Say. Come on. You still have a life. You've got a pulse. Live. You all right? I told you the message was going to get better. It is better. So Noah saw double. Abraham saw double. Sarah saw double. Sarah, she laughed. You remember that, don't you say? She laughed so much she named her kid Laughter. We're just going to call you funny. That's what she did. Sarah saw double. Now here's the point. That's Abraham's wife. Through faith, also, Sarah herself received what? To conceive seed. This was an old, old woman. How old was she when she got pregnant? Somebody tell me. How old? 99. Y'all got it. I'll go with it. Here we go. That's old where I come from. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Watch it. Because, hang on, talking about double vision. Because she did what? Judge to him faithful who had what? When you get in trouble, are you going to promise? You're going to judge God faithful or not? When you're in trouble, are you going to have double vision and judge God faithful that he's going to get you to the other side of this trouble, or you're not going to do that?
You're going to judge. Yeah, I hope you're going to say I'm going to have double vision, Pastor. What did she see? Here's the word. Here's the word. These are just my words as I'm thinking. Inadequate. Here's Sarah, her whole life couldn't have a kid. I don't measure up. I'm different. It was a stigma. She was looked down on like that God didn't love her or care for her. She was not blessed. That's the culture. That's what they would have said. She's inadequate. You ever feel that way? Say. People get that when they just feel like they're nothing. They're nobody. They're no good. And you know what? You can see that if you want to. And it's not saying that there are a lot of things that you're not going to be successful at. There's a lot of things that you and I have failed at. And we can live in our failure. Or we can say, you know what? I know I failed at that. That's reality. But you know what? I'm not inadequate. Say that with me. I'm not inadequate. I can do something. I am something. God can use me. Maybe I'm trying to go the wrong path. Maybe this journey of my life is over here. But I have a future still. Y'all with me or not? So here's Sarah feeling inadequate. That's the way she would have felt. And she was looking at her barrenness. And that was her vision. But she didn't let that just define her. Yes, that's reality. I'm barren. I haven't had a kid. That's the truth. Not making something up. It is what it is. But she judged him faithful. She judged God faithful. That's what the book of Hebrews says. Sarah's mentioned right there, man. And she saw God's what? She saw her barrenness, which could have stopped her in her tracks. But instead of just looking at her barrenness, she also saw God's what? That's called seeing double through trouble. You get that or not? Noah could have saw the flood. He looked through the trouble and he saw the double. See it? Abraham looked at lost everything, lived in town. He looks through the trouble and he sees Jerusalem. That's where he offered Isaac, Mount Moriah. It's called the city of God. Did you know that? That's where all the nations of the world, the top three religions of the world, are. Their home is Jerusalem. A man never really even got to see it. It happened. Sarah looked past her barrenness and saw God's faithfulness. Had a son. What was his name? Isaac. It's reality. Let's look at another one. Two more and we're done. You're doing all right, though. Moses saw double. Moses saw double. Moses saw double. Y'all aren't good today. Y'all are like by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, came of age, a man, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It's what he'd been called his whole life. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Keep looking. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward by faith. Say by faith. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing... Oh, last part, read it with me. As seeing him, who is what? I call that double vision. You see that right there? Did you catch that? Let's look it out. Let's break that one down a little bit. Roger's gone. So the word here I put up is conflicted. Here's a man, a Hebrew, grows up in the Egyptian, not just an Egyptian's home, in Pharaoh's home. But he knows he's a Hebrew. But he grows up over here. But his people are the Hebrews, and he sees them suffering and struggling his whole life, and being mistreated, and you name it. Abused, raped, whatever. You name it. They had it happen to them. And he's over here, but he's really one of them. Do you call that conflicted, say? He grew up this way. But he had double vision. He grew up, pop it up, people of Egypt. That was him. That's what he saw. Sin. He saw his treasures in Egypt. Okay? And he could have seen just fear when he decided to get out, when it's time to leave. But instead of just seeing the people of Egypt, he saw the people of who? He had another, he saw them. He didn't just see himself. He saw them, man. Double vision. He saw their suffering. Wait a minute. He had treasures in Egypt, but he saw with them he would have greater what? Getting it or not? And instead of fear, fearing the king would kill him, and Egypt would come and kill him for what he was going to do, he went ahead and he did it by what? Faith. Double vision. Hope you're seeing it. Right from the Bible, last one. Just in case you say, yeah, but I'm no Moses, I'm no Abraham, I'm no Noah, I'm no Sarah. Well, we'll throw a prostitute up there for you. How about that? Maybe you feel like you measure up now. And it's never about you measuring up anyway. It's always been about you and me having faith in Him. It's not about our goodness or whoever we are. Guys, it doesn't matter your pedigree. No matter what you've been through in your life, you can see double through trouble if you want to. Or you can just keep whining your way to glory or wherever you're going. I'd rather see double through trouble. Amen? You cool so far? Rahab the harlot, in case you didn't think she was, it says it, by faith, the what? Rahab. You might not think she's important. If this lady didn't see double, there'd be no Jesus. She's in the line of Jesus. Isn't that crazy? Say, you might think, I'll just give up. I'll just give up. I don't need to see no trouble. I'm just going to give up. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to give up. I quit. I'm done. I quit. You don't know if you keep going. Choose to see double rather than just your trouble, whose life you might affect. Amen. Say, my mama sitting in that chair watching Billy Graham that night drunk had no idea. She was just thinking, this curtain's hopeless, but I'm going to try to get up. She had no idea she's going to change my world. Amen. Come on. What did she do? Rahab. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. When she received the spies with what? Now, I can't tell the whole story, but the bottom line is Rahab could look out her window and look over there and see the Hebrews. They were getting closer. And they were coming towards Jericho, and it was going to be curtains for Jericho. They were going to be destroyed. It was a walled city, but it was coming down. And the spies came in, and Rahab, listen, Rahab, instead of just perishing, she asked for deliverance, and she received deliverance because she asked. And she entreated them and accepted them with peace. You remember the story, yes or no? And a scarlet was hung out the window. Say window. And she and her family didn't what? Perish. They were saved alive. Everybody else was killed. Remember? So, when I thought of Rahab, this is the word I thought of. Curtains. She could look out her window and see, it's just a matter of time. We're toast, baby. And then when the spies came, oh my gosh, they're here. It's over. Curtains. There's no escape here. None. And so she could have just thought that way and look. And she could have just saw what? We're going to perish. We're going to perish. We're going to perish. We're going to perish. That's all I see. I'm going to perish. I'm going to die. I'm going to perish. Well, there's another option there. I want to be delivered. I want to live. I want to be delivered. I want to live. You've got to see it if you want to live, baby. Amen. Say. Okay? And so she saw perishing, but she had double vision. She saw what? Deliverance. I mean, she probably people thought she was an idiot in her house. I don't know. What are you thinking? You're going to treat those guys and they're going to, you know, hang something out the window, whatever. You lost your mind? She had enough faith just to do it. Amen. Say. It worked. And because of her, Jesus came through that line. Read about it. It's true. We're done with the message. Here we go. When life looks like it's curtains, look at it. Look for the window. When life looks like it's curtains, I'm talking about double vision today. You've endured this wild ride this morning. when life looks like it's curtains, you have another choice to see double through that trouble. When life looks like it's curtains, look for the window. Pop it up, Raj. What do you, leave that there. What do you want to see? I'm convinced that a lot of people, if not most people, are content to just see their trouble. There's enough people out there that'll cheer on your whining, and you can live that way if you want to. Amen? When are you going to say, no, I'm not going to live like that anymore. I am not going to live like that anymore. And though it looks like curtains, I'm going to find me a window. Y'all listening or not? Say. And I'm going to look out a window, and I'm going to see double through trouble. And I'm going to tell you something. You keep believing, and it will happen. You listening or not? Come on. Anyway, are we done, Raj? Here we go. Look at that. Double vision. Look at it. Not just one sunset. You get two of them. Seeing double through what? We're going to do this again next week. You're like, oh my gosh, again? Yeah, we're going to do a little series called Seeing Double Through Trouble. Amen. Come on, let's praise the Lord for His Word. Amen. That was work.